Welcome to the What I Learned in History Class podcast, where each week we dive into a new topic throughout the course of history. I'm your host, Gavin.
And I'm your co-host, Cole. This week we'll analyze the beginning of the Cold War.
Wait, why was it called the Cold War? Did they have to wear jackets?
No. It was called the Cold War because each side was scared of fighting each other directly. Anyways, we will focus specifically on how the Allies suppressed Stalin's attempts at taking over West Berlin without starting World War III. We also will be doing a movie review of the hit film Bridge of Spies, starring Tom Hanks. Bridge of Spies is about a lawyer who's recruited by the CIA to negotiate the release of a spy plane pilot. Finally, we will wrap it up with a quick Q&A session with Mr. Sanders. Now for a quick word from our sponsors.
When you have a monstrous spill, you need to clean up fast. Choose Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Hope you all enjoyed that quick ad from our good friends over at Bounty, the quicker picker-upper. Post-World War II, the capital of Germany was in a poor state. The USSR was in complete control of the area around West Berlin, putting a lot of pressure on the US and their allies.
Whoa, Gavin. Before we talk about Berlin, we need to take it a step back so we know why Berlin is in such a bad situation to begin with.
Okay. Before the end of World War II, the Allies met at the Yalta and Potsdam conferences where they talked about post-war Europe and what to do with Germany. At these conferences, Stalin asserted his dominance on wanting control of much of the Eastern European states. However, the US and Britain made Stalin compromise by giving the nations free election, preventing the spread of communism through Europe. Also, the US, France, and Britain were adamant about sharing Germany and its capital, Berlin, between the Allies.
Even though this may sound fair, it only angered Stalin, who thought Russia deserved more of Germany. So, in June of 1948, Stalin formed a blockade made up of Soviet cars and trucks blocking all rail, street, and water access. Russia's plan was to block off West Berlin from the Allies with the intent of starving them into submission. This would allow for complete Russian control over Germany's capital, giving Russia the power that they thought they deserved. This resulted in the Soviets announcing that the split rule of Germany ceased to exist and the Allies had no power in Germany. In doing so, Russia solidified the division between the UN and themselves. In reaction to the Berlin blockade, the Allies began to send supplies into West Berlin by plane. This was called the Berlin Airlift. And you may think, hey, why don't the Russians just stop the planes from getting to Berlin? Well, if they shot at any of the planes, then this would be considered an act of war, which could have started a brutal nuclear war between the world's superpowers. But since they couldn't stop the UN, the Berlin Airlift brought over 2 million tons of supplies to Berlin over the course of 327 days.
Alongside the Berlin Airlift, there was Operation Little Vittles. Operation Little Vittles was a little light in the dark time for the children of Berlin. On April 16th, 1949, the U.S. and Britain went on with their normal aircraft delivery. However, First Lieutenant Gail S. Hausfarn decided to drop candy to the German children using homemade handkerchief parachutes.
I'm King Candy!
This boosted the morale of the children since there was heavy rationing because of the lack of supplies from the Berlin blockade.
Overall, the Berlin Airlift saved Berlin from total communist control. However, it cost the lives of 39 British, 31 American, and 13 German civilian lives, as well as 350 million from the US, 17 million pounds from Britain, and 150 million Deutschmarks from Germany. Although costly, this sacrifice was crucial to maintain peace in Berlin, Germany, Europe, and the world. Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
I didn't use Old Spice. I think I smell.
You thought no one could tell?
Rest assaulted, swagger all night.
Long-lasting Old Spice keeps that stank out of sight.
Welcome back, listeners. Now we will do a quick review of the hit film Bridge of Spies, directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Tom Hanks. From start to finish, Bridge of Spies is an engrossing, well-formulated masterpiece that captivates viewers into a wonderfully rendered Cold War setting. Based on a true story, Spielberg captures the real-life tension between the U.S. and Russia through the life of a New York lawyer, James Donovan. Donovan was elected to be the defendant for Soviet spy Rudolf Abel. Though all of the Americans hated Abel, Donovan believes everyone deserves a fair trial and convinces the justice system to keep him as a captive in case of a future prisoner swap.
That seems like a big foreshadowing moment, if you know what I mean.
Well, as this is going down, American pilot Gary Powers is shot down and captured in Soviet territory during a reconnaissance flyover.
Hey, don't forget about Frederick Pryor. Pryor was a Yale economics student that was in Berlin for his studies, but was taken captive on suspicions of espionage. The U.S. government tasked Donovan with going to Berlin to negotiate the exchange of Powers for Abel, since Powers was in possession of highly classified information.
Wouldn't want the Reds getting that information, am I right?
Nope, but let's get back on topic. While in Berlin, Donovan hears about Pryor's story and takes pity on him, and is determined to bring both Americans home. The problem is, Pryor is being held captive by the Germans, while Powers is in Russian custody.
So, Donovan had to get tricky. After much discussion and backlash, the trade was on. Abel for Powers and Pryor. The U.S. and the Soviets met on Glenickey Bridge to exchange Abel for Powers, while the Germans delivered Pryor to Checkpoint Charlie. In the suspenseful moment, Donovan defies orders and holds Abel back until Pryor arrives at Checkpoint Charlie, nearly compromising the whole plan. However, the Germans come through, and Pryor and Powers make it home safe, and Donovan turned his reputation from a Soviet sympathizer to an American hero.
Man, that movie was a great representation of American history.
It sure was. Great recommendation, Mr. Sanders, and I recommend it to all the listeners out there. Go watch Bridge of Spies for a mind-altering perspective of the Cold War.
We're told that our time is money, but yours is more valuable than that. Every journey is unique, and with Alaris as your guide, you can be confident for a better tomorrow.
Looks like during the break, we had some questions come in from Mr. Sanders.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Cole. Yeah, let me ask a couple of questions about what you were just talking about. First of all, I guess for Cole, you had mentioned some of the real life spy stories. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about what happened with Francis Gary Powers and the U2 incident? And then after that question, Gavin, maybe you can answer the question. Why do you think both Joseph Stalin and Harry S. Truman were willing to risk potential World War III in 1948 and 1949 with first the Berlin blockade and then the Berlin airlift?
Gary Powers was an American pilot who was recruited by the CIA for a top secret mission. He was part of a select group of pilots which were going to fly over Soviet territory to collect information that could give the U.S. the upper hand in a full-on war with the Soviet Union. Or it could prevent that war. Powers would be flying at 70,000 feet above the ground while taking pictures with huge cameras, allowing the U.S. to see the Soviets' layout. Powers flew a Lockheed U-2 spy plane, which was shot down by the Soviets. Powers was told if he was shot down to use a scratcher tipped with potassium cyanide to kill himself, so the Soviets would not get information out of him. He defied orders, which led the prisoner swap of Abel for Powers and Pryor.
The reason I think Stalin was willing to risk it all with the Berlin blockade was he believed that Russia deserved more control over Germany, and he planned to get that control by blocking off Berlin from the UN. Truman was willing to take the risk by sending supplies to Berlin by plane, because if Stalin's plan worked, then the Soviet Union would have complete control of Germany's capital, giving the Soviets too much power over Germany and Eastern Europe. The Berlin blockade and airlift provoked the fear of war in the West and strengthened the tension between Russia and the UN. The airlift was also a huge victory for the U.S., and they were able to supply the people of Berlin and eventually, after 327 days, stop the Berlin blockade altogether.